News, 1 o'clock.
91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour features perhaps the most intriguing area of South Florida, the fabulous Florida Keys. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Stay tuned for Keys history. Some things you may not know, native people lived in the area some 1,000 years before Ponce de Leon glimpsed it. Key West elected a Cuban-born mayor as far back as 1875. The federal government took over the Keys in the early 1930s and pushed Key West to boost tourism. And the so-called Conch Republic was formed in 1982 after Florida City border checks mired highway traffic. We'll hear from distinguished Florida Keys historian Tom Hambright and learn even more after the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Goldman Sachs is paying more than $5 billion to settle claims that it misled investors in the run-up to the nation's financial crisis. Under the settlement reached with the Justice Department, as well as other federal and state entities, Goldman agrees to pay a $2.4 billion civil penalty and an additional $1.8 billion in relief for distressed borrowers. A U.S. Navy officer is charged with espionage and attempted espionage. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports the charge sheet says the officer was assigned to the headquarters for the Navy's Patrol and Reconnaissance Group.
The name of the accused officer is blacked out on documents released by the Navy, but a U.S. official confirms the man charged is Lieutenant Commander Edward Lin. Lin was born in Taiwan and became a naturalized U.S. citizen. The Navy held a preliminary hearing on Friday to examine the charges, which include attempting to communicate secret information relating to national defense to a representative of a foreign government. The charge sheet does not specify which foreign government or over what time period. Lin is being held at the Naval Consolidated Brig in Chesapeake, Virginia. Navy spokeswoman Lieutenant Commander Nicole Schwegman says the investigation is ongoing. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.
Nearly 40,000 Verizon workers across the eastern U.S. plan to go on strike this Wednesday if no labor agreement is reached by then. The Communications Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers say they have been unable to reach a labor agreement with management for 10 months. The strike will involve wireline unit employees, including those involved with Fios Internet, telephone, and TV services. The governor of Virginia is proposing changes to the state execution policy that would allow a lethal combination of drugs from undisclosed sources. Soraya Wintersmith of member station WCVE has details.
What began as a bill to address the scarcity of lethal injection drugs by defaulting to the electric chair is now a series of changes from Governor Terry McAuliffe.
I am sending down amendments giving the Department of Corrections the legal authority to compound drugs for injection.
Another amendment would keep the drug providers from public scrutiny. Making the case at a press conference, McAuliffe argued the identity protection measure is controversial but necessary.
These manufacturers will not do business in Virginia if their identities are to be revealed.
The governor says executions will come to a halt if the General Assembly rejects his amendments when they reconvene later this month. For NPR News, I'm Soraya Wintersmith in Richmond.
The Turkish state-run news agency reports five rockets fired from Syria have landed in the border town of Kilis. Says at least four people were hurt. One home was damaged, at least one home. This comes days after two people were reported wounded in the same area after a rocket blew up near a park. The Dow is up 93 points. This is NPR News.
From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMattei. A Palm Beach County sheriff's deputy, his young son, and one other person have been found dead one day after their fishing boat was reported missing. 51-year-old sheriff's deputy Fernandez Jones and his 9-year-old son were among a party of four that embarked on the trip yesterday morning from a marina just north of Jupiter. A second adult was also found dead. According to the Sun Sentinel, the only survivor, a 45-year-old man, was found walking along a beach this morning. He said he survived by clinging to Jones's 24-foot boat overnight. Jones started his law enforcement career in Broward County and worked for Miami-Dade for 16 years before becoming a Palm Beach County deputy. Florida wildlife officials say they will be investigating why the boat sank. Meanwhile, one person was taken to the hospital after authorities say two boats collided in a West Palm Beach canal yesterday. Palm Beach County fire and rescue officials say the collision occurred in a canal near an airport hotel. State water managers are set to return to Monroe County next week to provide an update on Florida Bay. Their report will be submitted to the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary Advisory Council. The bay has seen a seagrass die off, and many people in the Keys are concerned it could be headed for another collapse.
The very frustrating part about living in the Keys, being a county commissioner, being an activist, addressing water quality issues and natural resources and the environment, it's a big circle.
Monroe County Commissioner George Nugent serves on the advisory council. He says the Keys may be relatively small compared to other parts of South Florida, but he hopes the island chain can still have a big impact on the state's environmental priorities.
The concerning thing to me is that it hasn't sunk in that our economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment.
You can hear more about the state of Florida Bay and Everglades restoration on next week's edition of The Sunshine Economy, and that will air a week from today, April 18th. This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Christine DiMatte.
Support for NPR comes from TIAA. Whether it's investing, advice, banking, or retirement, TIAA is committed to helping those who do good do well. Learn more at TIAA.org. And the National Endowment for the Arts. Art works.
We're funded by WLRM members and by Whole Foods Market, which believes holidays are about spending time with family. This Passover, Whole Foods features online ordering of meals from the comfort of home with in-store pickup. Passover meal ideas are at shop.wfm.com.
And we return 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman will be back tomorrow on Topical Currents for our popular members-only edition. So today we dabble in one of the strengths of Topical Currents, both Florida and our regional history. On the line with us is a renowned figure in Monroe County, historian Tom Hambright. He heads the local and Florida History Department at the Key West Public Library. Tom Hambright has been the go-to source for Keys history for some 30 years. Welcome to you, Tom Hambright. It's an honor.
Fine. Happy to be here.
Some may not be aware of the designation Cayo Hueso. How did bones figure into the history of Key West?
Well, that's one of the mysteries. There's all sorts of guesses of how it was named a bone island by the Spanish. My particular one, I think, was done by the navigators who were making charts, and then when they looked at it, because we had sand dunes, they thought it looked like a bone. Then there's the other theory that people say that when they actually got here, there were piles of bones here. But nobody says whether they're human or animal.
So there could have been some grim results of pirate activity or something?
It could have been. It could have been the way the native people buried their dead. It also could have been the way they buried their waste. They did have Indian mounds where they would put their garbage in. They were much ahead of us in that, and sometimes they ate a lot of things that would have bones, like turtles, deer, and so forth. So it could have been a garbage, could have been a Native American war of some kind, or it could have looked like a bone.
Well, what version do you prefer?
Well, I think I'd take the version, being a Navy man, it looked like a bone to the sailors, and that's the reason they call it that.
Well, we're talking about marine activities. What's the reality of the Florida Keys and pirates? Was Black Caesar in those waters?
Well, there are a lot of rumors. Most of the pirates, though, of the day were, of course, after the early days, were after the Spanish treasure coming out of Cuba. And they were either English, French, or a few Dutch. Now, the English operated almost exclusively out of Nassau and Port Royal in Jamaica. The French operated out of them, but there's no record of them operating out of Key West. They probably used the harbor as a safe anchorage and maybe a waiting. Our real connection was later, as the world changed, the pirate operation was around Cuba and Haiti. And our first settlement by the Americans was Commodore Porter in the Navy, who was sent here with the anti-pirate squadron in 1823 to patrol the waters of Cuba and Haiti and Puerto Rico for pirates.
Well, let's go back 2 years to 1821. Oddly enough, Key West was bought by an individual for a couple of $1,000s.
Yeah. John Symington bought the island of Key West, or Cayuas as it was called then, from Juan Pablo Salas, a military officer that had served in St. Augustine and had been given the island by the Spanish governor of Florida for his services to the Spanish crown. And so Symington, through various ways, but through his partners they met, and he bought the island from Salas for $2,000.
Wasn't there some controversy around there as far as ownership was concerned? And
well, it turned out Mr. Salas had also sold the island to some other people, and so that went for a couple years between them, and finally Symington and his partners came up with money and bought the other guys out and cleared their title.
Talk about the Florida Keys and its longtime relationship to Cuba. Of course, the proximity to Cuba is a big factor, but also as a refugee haven dating from the 1870s in various phases. Could you touch on those?
Yeah, our first really influx of refugees from Cuba started 1869, 1870, with the beginning of what's known in Cuban history as the 10-Year War, started by Carlos Manuel de Céspedes, and it ended up that a lot of refugees came here, and they founded the hand-roll cigar industry here using Cuban-grown tobacco, but making the cigars here. And so by the mid-1880s, about 45% of the people in Key West were born in Cuba. And in 1875 and 76, we had a Cuban-born mayor, Carlos Manuel de Céspedes, who's the son of the great liberator that started the revolution.
Why were they rolled in Key West? Was that a tariff thing, using
Cuban
tobacco?
Yeah, it was between tariff and also the unrest because of the 10-year war was one of the factors. And the tariff was probably the biggest factor because it turned out to be cheaper to make a Cuban cigar in Key West than it was to import a Cuban cigar from Havana.
Now, also taking refugee in Key West, I suppose, the father of modern Cuba, Jose Martí. What was that? What were the
Jose, well, he came here. He never lived here. He was basically in New York as his home, but he came here to raise money and to unite the various groups in the fight against Spanish rule in Cuba. So he made a number of visits here with us.
But wasn't Key West some sort of a haven during the Cuban Revolution?
Oh, it was a haven for the revolutionaries and the revolutionary parties, and it was also the financial support for the revolution was the cigar workers and the cigar factories here. Both the owners and the workers contributed heavily to the revolution, and that was one of the things that Martí was here coordinating with the various groups and, the, of course, the income. And most of the fighters during the leaders of the generals during the revolution came at Key West at one time or the other on fundraising expeditions.
Well, staying with this Cuban theme, of course, in the 1960s, those fleeing Fidel Castro, and also the 1980 Mariel Boatlip. Did many of the Cubans come to Key West in the early 1960s, or did most of them, well, of course, most of them came into the Miami area, but was there a lot into Key West?
Well, a lot came to Key West, of course, by boat and so forth. Most didn't, the 60 refugees did not stay. They went on to Miami. The economy here was not supportive. But in the 60s when they came, we were predominantly a military economy here, and there were really no jobs available for them in any great number at the time. So most of them ended up, even though they landed here, the same thing in 1980 in the Mariel Boatlip, even though they landed here, most of them went on to Miami. It had a much larger and more diverse economy.
We're speaking with noted Monroe County historian Tom Hambright. Mr. Hambright, tell us a little more about you and your relationship to the Keys and Key West.
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, but I joined the Navy.
You sound a little bit like that.
Yeah, after I graduated from Appalachian University in North Carolina, and in the 60s, the Navy sent me to Key West for the first time. So I spent 21 years in the Navy, and after I retired, I was here a number of times during my career, and I came back and started here and started working at the time for the Art and Historical Society as a curator, and then 30 years ago, I changed jobs to this job.
Well, we have lots more to talk about in Florida Keys history, but we're going to take a short break. We'll return with more.
And you are listening to Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Thanks for being with us. Caroline Brader-Watts, I'm joined by Jason Zabka in the studio today. And we'll get back to Joe and a very interesting conversation in just a moment. But we're taking a moment to remind you that this is our spring membership campaign, and signing up as a WLRN member is extremely affordable because you can choose the amount that's right for you. So I guess the question is this: if you had to put a price on the peace of mind, knowing that every time you tune into WLRN, you'll learn something new, what is that peace of mind worth to you? It's good to know that public radio is going to be there for you when you need it. Now we're asking you to be here with us, for us, with a modest contribution. So give us a call, 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN or online WLRN.org. Jason, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, happy Monday, Caroline, and everybody out there.
It's a great Monday, too.
Sure is. It's actually New Member Monday here at WLRN. And if you've never taken the plunge and become a member of your local NPR station, it's easy, fast, and fun. And it's also affordable. You can become a new member for as little as $5 a month. And there are a number of gifts you can choose from at the $5 a month level. And you'll be entered into our drawing, of course, for a customized trip for two to Italy from Nada's Italy.
That's right.
$5 a month is easy on your wallet, and it makes a huge impact for the best news and information in South Florida. Call 866-247-9576 or just log on to WLRN.org.
And if you're enjoying this conversation about the Florida Keys, I think I have the perfect gift for you. It is called, it's a book, it's a hardcover book called The Flavors of the Florida Keys. It was written by our own Linda Gassenheimer, who you listen to on Thursdays with Joe and Bonnie. And the book takes you on a cultural history and culinary tour of the sun-drenched, distinctive corner of America, the Florida Keys. The unique combination of the Keys of Cuban, French, British, Caribbean, and American cuisines are captured. In addition to history, it gives information about the variety of Keys restaurants and resorts. You can get that book for a pledge of $120. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. You can get a copy of the book, The Flavors of the Florida Keys by Linda Gassenheimer. All you have to do is give us a call, 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN, online WLRN.org. And Jason, you had just mentioned that Italy drawing. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, Caroline, you know, people use the word amazing in a lot of people's opinion too much, but I'm looking...
Thrown around a bit, yes.
I'm looking at the details on the trip right now for Italy and what's available and all the different things you can do, and it is truly an amazing grand prize, and the drawing's going on right now. Become a member of WLRN and be automatically entered to win a trip to Italy for two, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. The lucky winner will enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the most romantic place on Earth, custom-made by Nada's Italy experts. You'll have your choice of visits to Rome, Florence, or the Tuscan countryside. Your airfare, activities, and breakfasts are all included in this package. The drawing ends on Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m., so don't wait. Make your donation now. Once again, the number 866-247-9576, and that works out to 866-247-WLRN, or fast and easy, online at WLRN.org.
And you know, WLRN has been providing public radio to the Florida Keys for more than 20 years. We established the Southernmost News Bureau and brought Nancy Klingerner on board to cover the beat in Monroe County. And recently, we also partnered with the studios of Key West to open a radio news studio to further our coverage. So guess what? This growth and development of our news department is made possible by contributions from you. Membership makes WLRN thrive in South Florida. So become a member, whether it's a new membership or renewing an existing membership. Give us a call right now at 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN or WLRN.org.
Let me ask you, how did you discover WLRN? Maybe a professor gave you an assignment that involved listening, or your roommate, partner, or colleagues at work already listened, or maybe it was just borrowing your dad's car that led you to discover WLRN. Marcel Proust said that discovery consists not only of seeking new lands, but of seeing with new eyes. And in the case of NPR News and WLRN, perhaps it's more accurate to say hearing with new ears. WLRN and NPR News were here for you to discover because listeners who already knew about it valued it and supported it. Now that you have value what you hear on WLRN, it's time to join them. Make your financial contribution today. Once again, that number, 866-247-9576.
Or online at WLRN.org. Don't forget about that book, The Flavors of the Florida Keys, by our own Linda Gassenheimer. Learn all about the food and excitement that goes on in the Florida Keys with this book. It is yours for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustaining member. Give us a call at 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN, or you can click and join online at any point, and it takes just 2 minutes of your time at WLRN.org. And we thank you so much for your support.
You can experience the drama and beauty of Mozart's music on Sunday, April 17th, as Orchestra Miami presents More Masonic Mozart at Miami's Scottish Rite Temple. The 36 musicians of Orchestra Miami, led by Elaine Rinaldi, perform with piano soloist Paul Posnack in this all-Mozart program. A talk on the history of this fascinating building is at 3, and the concert begins at 4. Tickets and information at orchestramiami.org or 305-274-2103.
School for Advanced Studies, SAS, a nationally recognized collegiate high school of excellence for 11th and 12th graders, proudly announces the opening of its newest campus for the 2016-2017 school year at Miami-Dade College West Campus in Doral. Applications for this new site are now being accepted from students entering grade 11 in August. SAS West Campus will join the Homestead, Kendall, North, and Wolfson SAS campuses that have been recognized by NEESH as the top high school in Florida for 2016. Information at 305-237-0510.
And we're back with today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman will be joining me again tomorrow for our members-only edition. You don't want to miss that. Well, we're speaking with historian Tom Hambright from Monroe County, of course. He heads the local and Florida History Department at the Key West Public Library. Tom, take us through the Keys. I've always been interested in the Keys and the Great Depression. What were the Keys like before 1929, and why was it so early hit by the Depression woes?
Well, there's a number of factors. One, the Anrel cigar industry, which had been, you know, a well-paying job and had employed 2,000 people, and that started fading after World War One. So by the 1920s, pretty much everybody had started smoking cigarettes. So that was a major employer. Of course, we had the railroad that came here and then went on to Cuba that was completed in 1912. But as the world economy was slowing up in other places, that traffic started getting less and less. So the railroad was employing less. And the military, which it had Navy and the Army, it had facilities here, and they started cutting back, and the Navy went completely into mothballs in their position here. The Army stayed, but reduced personality. And we had a couple other sort of bad investments in the future. We built the first highway with a bond issue in 1928. And, of course, that had to be paid out over the years. And then also We had a couple, the city treasurer and the clerk of court from Monroe County, who was the treasurer from Monroe County, they both absconded with the treasury. So we were pretty desperately out of work, owed a lot of money, and nobody was coming in.
Speaking of the great overseas railroad, I'm reminded of a history I read about it, and a little girl who took her first ride on the train from Miami to Key West, and how majestic it was because the tracks were kind of a narrow gauge, and you really couldn't see land on either side of the train. So it was almost as though you were floating above the ocean as you went from aisle to aisle. It must have been a wondrous thing.
Must have been. You had to travel because you would, as you went across the bridges. Now we have guardrails, but they, of course, had no guardrails on the train, so you wouldn't have seen anything. Supposedly, some people even fished off the train as it went. Because it did slow down as it went across some of, like, the 7 mile bridge. It did go at a very slow speed.
So that's a fancy way of trolling.
Yeah, so I don't know. I never heard of anybody catching anything, but.
Well, and adding to the railroad, why was it that Flagler, what was his vision to bring it to Key West? He had to be kind of berated to bring it to Miami, and
well,
then he went on.
He brought it to Miami, and he was developing Florida, and he was looking for a winter resort, of course, which he developed, you know, at Palm Beach. And then he came on and had his hotel in Miami, and he wanted to, after the Spanish-American War, Cuba was under our influence. He wanted to do trade with Cuba, and also once Teddy Roosevelt was elected president, he started building the Panama Canal, so he saw another one. So Flagler actually tried to develop the harbor in Miami, something like you have today, but the technology was just not there in the early 1900s to build a deep water port. And so the closest he had was Key West, so that was his decision to come to Key West for the deep water port.
So he envisioned more tourism via ships from Key West, and also trade, of course.
Oh, yeah, the trade. And he owned the P&O steamship line was his, too, so he was, beside the hotels he built, he had the P&O steamship line to take people back and forth. So he was looking at, income from all the sources. So it was, when he made the decision, it was probably a sound business decision. Technology overtook him in a lot of his projects. But
so by the time of the 1935 hurricane, I want you to describe that also, but by the time of that hurricane, the Overseas Railroad was really operating in the red.
It was operating in the red. A lot of restrictions on imports and exports that had come in because of the Depression. And, of course, the economy in Cuba was just as bad as it was here, so the whole thing was there. And of course Flagler was long since dead, and the bankers had taken over the railroad, and so they made the banking decision, you know, close it down, not as a railroad man. But then the 35 hurricane devastated the Middle Keys. Didn't do that much damage to the railroad. It only washed out one bridge, the Snake Creek Bridge, and some of the track. But track is, you know, in railroad guys, track's easy to replace. Bridges were, but the money handlers decided it wasn't worth it because they foresaw no profit.
Sometimes when we're driving down the Keys on the highway now, though, we probably aren't aware of what a miraculous engineering feat to build that railroad through that kind of terrain was.
What were the conditions? Yeah, it was, and at the time he was doing it, it was written up in all the scientific journals and stuff, not only because of the lure of the highway and of the railroad, but the technology required to do it. And it was a pretty amazing project.
And the workers who built that hurricane, many of them were sort of sent down here because of Washington and demonstrations. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were the people who had marched on Washington, the veterans of World War I. they had been promised a bonus of $200, $300, depending on their service during the war. But it wasn't to be paid until the 1940s. So when the Depression hit the rest of the country, they wanted their money, you know, now. And so they marched on Washington, and a lot of them went home. The average guys went home, but some stayed there, and some that stayed there were some of our troubled people that we have today.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, okay. The deputy was coming in here. Excuse me.
Well, we don't want you in trouble with the deputy.
No, he's looking for somebody. Somebody blocked the parking lot, I guess. They had camped in Washington, so the decision was made they wanted to remove them from Washington. And part of one of the government projects, that came after during the Depression, the WPA, one of the projects, they were building some more bridges to complete that first highway. The first highway had some ferry gaps in it where you had to take a ferry, and they wanted to build bridges to complete that highway. And so that's what the veterans were sent to Lower Matacumbe, where they had a big veterans camp to start building the highway from Lower Matacumbe, eventually over to Big Pine Key to connect up the keys completely. So those were the guys that were mostly killed by the 35 hurricane that just swept over the island completely up there.
About how many lost their lives in that?
Well, that's still a question. It's because civilians, people were there, but 200 to 300 for sure. But nobody's for sure, because some of the veterans that ended up turned up, that they actually lived and just went home. They didn't, check in with anybody. And so, and people that were down there, because it was a Labor Day weekend, so there was tourists down there that got washed away that nobody knew what happened to them. Hmm.
We're speaking with historian Tom Hambright. He's the local and Florida History Department at the Key West Public Library. He heads that department. And we're going to talk some more Florida Keys history in just a moment.
And this is Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, having a terrific conversation today about the Florida Keys, one of the many counties that we serve here in WLRN serves here in South Florida, Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. And we're so glad to hear a little bit more intimate history of this incredible region. And hopefully it will encourage you and inspire you to go to the phone, make a pledge of support. It is our spring membership campaign. You can call us at 866-247-9576, or you can join us online at WLRN.org. It's a quick process, just a few minutes. You'll be doing your part for public radio in South Florida. But that it's very easy to do, takes just 2 minutes of your time. And Jason, of course, today's a great day if you've never made that leap from listener to member, because it's a special Monday for us here.
It sure is. It is. Today is new member Monday here at WLRN. And I think this is a great time to thank some new members. Caroline, what do you think?
Like,
for instance, John in Hialeah. Thank you, John. Sheng Yuan coming through from Delray Beach, and Connie in Coral Gables, as well as Howard in Boca, all becoming new members today, and we do thank you. If you've never taken the plunge and become a member of your local NPR station, it's easy, fast, and fun. And it's also affordable. You can become a new member for as little as $5 a month. There are a number of gifts you can choose at the $5 a month level, and you'll be entered into our drawing for a customized trip for two to Italy. $5 a month is pretty easy on your wallet, I think.
I think it is, yes.
Most people. And it makes a huge impact for the best news and information in South Florida here at WLRN. So call us now, 866-247-9576, or simply log on to WLRN.org.
And the way we try to make it a little bit more fun is we have gifts and incentives that will hopefully inspire you to go to the phone or go to the website and make that contribution. Because we're chatting about the Keys, we have a book that you can take advantage of. It's The Flavors of the Florida Keys, written by our own Linda Gassenheimer. It takes you on a cultural, history, and culinary tour of this very distinctive part of our world, and the unique combination in the Keys of Cuban, French, British, Caribbean, and American cuisines are captured. It gives you history. It gives you information about the variety of Keys, restaurants, and resorts. A very nice book for you, The Flavors of the Florida Keys by Linda Gassenheimer, available for a $10 a month sustaining pledge. What is a sustainer? Well, that is someone who makes a decision as to what amount of money they want to have automatically deducted from their debit or credit card each and every month. You set it, you forget it, and you are providing ongoing support each and every month of the year for WLRN, or you can make that a one-time contribution of $120 to get Linda's book, whatever is your pleasure. It certainly will help us to reach our goal. We have about $276,000 left to raise to wrap this up.
Almost halfway there. Yeah.
Almost halfway there, and gosh, we don't want to have, Jason, we don't have to go through till Friday to do this, and I don't think our listeners do either. I think you want us to wrap this up as quickly as possible. All we have to do is reach that goal, and we will go back to uninterrupted programming. Once again, the number to call, 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
Carolyn, can I tell them about the grand prize drawing?
Please
that's
do, because
right
it
now?
Is so fabulous.
It is fabulous. Become a member of WLRN and be automatically entered to win a trip to Italy for two, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. The lucky winner will enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the most romantic place on Earth, that being Italy, of course, custom made by Nada's Italy experts with your choice of visits to Rome, Florence, or the Tuscan countryside. Your airfare, activities, and breakfasts are all included in this package. The drawing ends Thursday at 7 p.m., so don't wait. Make your donation now. Call 866-247-9576. That's 866-247-WLRN or online at WLRN.org.
There's so many great places to travel to just here in South Florida alone. The Keys is certainly one of those. And we're going to go back into this fascinating conversation about the Florida Keys in just a moment. But you still have time. You won't miss any of the interview. You won't miss any of the conversation. Take this break right now to give us a call at 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN or online, WLRN.org. Don't forget about that book by Linda Gassenheimer, The Flavors of the Florida Keys, yours for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustaining member. If you're interested in becoming a brand new member, and a lot of folks choose the $5 a month option, I've also got a gift for you. It is Wine Spectator Magazine. You get a one-year subscription to Wine Spectator Magazine. That's available with any pledge of $60 or more. That, of course, breaks down to $5 a month. Or let me make another suggestion. You bump that up just a tad to $120. That's $10 a month. In addition to Wine Spectator, you're also going to get a year's subscription to Whiskey Advocate Magazine. Yes, there's one of those too. So it's your pleasure whether you want to take Linda's book or you want to take the magazines or whatever amount you wish to donate. There's gifts at all the different levels. We just hope that you will be involved. You will turn from a listener to a listener contributor. 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN, or click and join online, WLRN.org. And thanks for your support.
For families who've been told a kidney transplant is their only hope, a paired exchange may be the answer. It's where one donor recipient pair is matched with another donor recipient pair that's a better clinical option. At the Miami Transplant Institute at Jackson Memorial Hospital, University of Miami Health System physicians recently performed Florida's first four-way paired kidney exchange, where four patients each received a life-saving kidney from four strangers. For more information about the paired kidney exchange program, visit miamitransplantinstitute.org.
On Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m., five young authors who've won National Book Foundation honors read and discuss their works at Miami-Dade College in downtown Miami. The Miami Book Fair brings these five under 35 finalists to the stage at the Wolfson Campus Auditorium. Authors include Colin Barrett, Angela Flournoy, Megan Cruz, Tracy O'Neill, and Azarine van der Vliet Olumi. Moderated by LitHub.com's Johnny Diamond. Information on this free evening of readings and conversation at MiamiBookFair.com.
This spring, you can discover your creative side at the Boca Raton Museum Art School. New short classes begin April 19th. You can take an evening or daytime art class in subjects like beginning drawing, jewelry making, photography, pottery, and more. The art school is located at 801 West Palmetto Park Road in Boca Raton. You can learn more at bocamuseum.org.
Andy Cohen, Emmy Award-winning host of Watch What Happens Live, hosts the Arsch Center's 10th Anniversary Gala Concert, honoring Adrian Arsht, April 21st. This one-night-only concert features world-class artists from Miami and around the globe, including Rachel Platten, Estelle, Michael Feinstein, Arturo Sandoval, Stephanie J. Block, dancers from American Ballet Theater and Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, and many more. You can join them April 21st. Tickets at ArschCenter.org.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper minus Bonnie Berman. She'll be back tomorrow for our members-only edition. Again, we do hope that you will make that pledge during Topical Currents. That number, 866-247-WLRN, or online at WLRN.org. We continue with historian Tom Hambright. He heads the local and Florida History Department at the Key West Public Library. Tom, sometimes when I'm on my way down that beautiful overseas highway and I glance to the south, the beautiful water, and I know that less than 90 miles away is Cuba, and it reminds me of an event in September of 1978, an event I'm sure you know about, which concerned then-Mayor Sonny McCoy and his trip to Cuba. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, Sonny had been practicing on his water skiing for years, and he decided he wanted to water ski from Key West to Cuba. And eventually he was able to do it. He had to have some support craft to go with him, plus a boat to tow him. But Sonny was successfully made the trip to Cuba and was greeted by a gunboat off of Havana when he arrived.
So, it wasn't aimed at him, though.
No, but there was, the patrol boat, I guess, that's normally there.
Right.
So, but that's when he tells the story, he emphasizes the gunboat, seeing the gunboat.
Now, there were like 6-foot seas involved there. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's quite
big,
a trek, and it took him over 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, he said they were very tired by the time he got there.
Now, Sonny McCoy is has been quite a political force in the Keys' history.
Oh yes, he was. He served as 10 years as the city of Key West mayor, but he also served later as the county commissioner and county mayor of Monroe County. So he's served in both capacities.
And there's a park in his honor.
Yeah, there's an indigenous park over on the end of White Street that's named for him.
So if you go there, you can see some of the more indigenous trees and flora there.
And trees, and yeah, and they do keep some wildlife there. They have a pond there. Sometimes you can see some native birds and stuff around the pond.
Tell me, Tom Hambright, about some of the current Florida Keys issues, including such soaring property values there, and that service workers are priced out of housing.
That's the one crisis that's really hitting home. Not just the service workers, but the professionals are getting priced out. We were talking to the sheriff here not long ago, and most of the first responders in the Upper Keys live in the mainland, somewhere in Dade County. So it's not only those guys that are getting, the service workers, but it's the other people we absolutely need for your economy, the first responders, the electricians, the plumbers, and those guys. It's becoming a real crisis as more and more people want to move to the Keys and are driving the price of real estate up and, of course, the price of rent up.
Reminds me when I moved here in the early 70s, most of those areas kind of had squat little vacation homes and that. Now you're even getting into McMansions in the Keys.
Oh, yeah. Our joke is every time New York City raises taxes, more people move to Key West. So I don't know how much that's true, but the high tax states are driving people to Florida.
So what are the powers that be doing to combat this trouble of having regular people being able to live in the Keys and serve there?
Well, we have built some housing that comes not under the federal guidelines, which is, you know, the subsidized housing for the income-limited people. But the local government has built some houses that are for and have houses available for the middle-class guys like the police and the fire and people like that. So they're always looking for more. But we go up against the other side of the thing because we are an area of state critical concern. We're limited on how many houses we can build. So it's a difficult decision to make, you know.
Well, what is that subsidized housing like? These aren't like barracks or something, are they?
No, they're normal apartments, the ones for the working people there, or they're, you know, they're the regular housing that, you know, that's built for the income-limited people, the government federal housing projects. We have several of those throughout the Keys, but we're also now getting these middle-class housing, which are nice, you know, apartments. But it's still a continuing problem as the prices go up more and more. And
now, it seems that something that's always on the minds of those who live in the Keys, particularly its leadership, is fresh water.
Fresh water, yes. Of course, our water comes from Florida City. Most people don't realize that there's a well filled in Florida City that we pump our fresh water out of. And that's controlled by the South Florida Water Management District. And so they limit us on how much water we can have. And, of course, there's concern now for all the people in South Florida about the water and possible saltwater intrusion if the sea level rise, and all those problems can affect not only us but the rest of the mainland South Florida.
What about desalinization? Is that still running?
No, we do have two reverse osmosis plants, but they are for emergency use. They're not in normal use because the expense, they're probably not as expensive now with the price of fuel down, but they are still more expensive than the other type of, normal water supply.
So if a big storm hit and fresh water going to the Keys was limited, then those would start up for an emergency.
Yeah, they're here for emergency. And, of course, a big storm could take out the pipeline, like the Hurricane Donna in 1960 took out some of the pipeline up in the Middle Keys.
Well, tell us a little bit more. We mentioned global warming and sea level rises. How that may affect the future of the Keys and the sensitive reef, which is so important to tourism and why people love to dive in the Keys.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the big tourist attraction, of course, is the water sports, diving and fishing. And, of course, if the sea level rises, what will happen to the reef? Because the reef can only survive at a certain depth. And of course, the other problem is pollution and that other side of the coin. So sea level rise could be devastating. And of course, you know, nowhere are we very high above the sea. I'm in the middle of Key West, luckily. We're on the hill in Key West at 18 foot above sea level at the library here. But that is the highest point in the Keys.
Well, speaking of the library, Tom Hambright, perhaps some of our listeners who are headed down to the Keys should maybe stop by the library. I'm sure you have some great displays there. Stop by the library before you go carousing on Duval Street.
Yeah, we're 700 Fleming Street. We're two blocks off of Duval, so if they get tired, they can take a break and come and see us. Or they can visit us.
Now, no open containers in the library, though, right?
No, we do not serve any beverages in the library. But they can visit us on our website, keyslibraries.org. And it is libraries because we have libraries from Key West to Key Largo are all part of our system.
Well, Tom Hambright, it's been a great pleasure. We'll have to have you back on Topical Currents sometime soon. Tom Hambright heads the local and Florida History Department at the Key West Public Library. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
quite literally in the middle of a mangrove swamp. I'm so far out in the wilderness that the only access to anything is NPR. We don't have cable, we don't have internet, we don't even have phone service where I live. So I would be utterly lost without NPR. I would be utterly devastated, and I think to myself, is it worth a dollar or two a day? I'm sure if I had lost it, I'd be willing to pay $10 a day. So just make the pledge. It doesn't hurt. When it comes out monthly, you don't even feel it.
Thank you so much. That was actually someone who called in to, I think it was our previous Topical Currents members only show. And of course, that's coming up tomorrow on Topical Currents. Don't be sure to tune in for that. You'll hear a lot of folks expressing their love and their affection for Joe and Bonnie and for Topical Currents and for WLRN. It's a very fun episode of the show, so don't miss out. That lady was calling directly from the Keys, and she depends, obviously, very much on the service that WLRN provides. And we hear that from a lot of you, whether it's up in Jupiter all the way down to Key West. That's why we're taking just a couple of minutes now before we go into Here and Now to remind you that this is our spring membership campaign. It takes just a couple of moments to do your part for WLRN. Click and join at WLRN.org. You can also give us a call at 866-247-9576. Either way, you'll be doing your part to keep public radio strong. Caroline Brader-Watts, along with Jason Zabka, celebrating a special event we have, of, so to speak, going on here because it's a Monday.
Yes, good afternoon. Not just any Monday, Caroline. It is, in fact, New Member Monday here at WLRN. And just take a minute to thank a couple new members from my neck of the woods. We have James up in Deerfield Beach and Brad in Pompano Beach, both becoming new members today, within the last few minutes, actually.
Awesome.
If you've never taken the plunge and become a member of your local NPR station, it's easy, fast, and they tell me it's quite fun, Caroline.
It's we try to make it that way.
It's also affordable. You can become a new member for as little as $5 a month. There are a number of gifts you can choose from at the $5 a month level, and you'll be entered into our drawing for a customized trip for two to Italy. $5 a month is easy on your wallet. It makes a huge impact for the best news and information here in South Florida. Call us now, 866-247-9576, or, oh, Snyder from Miami checking in, becoming a new member
as we speak. Thank you very much, Snyder.
Or, as I said, log on to WLRN.org.
And that's really as fast as it happens. You know, you give us a call at 866-247-9576 or go online to WLRN.org. It takes 2 minutes. It pops up on our screen. We get to thank you. You're on your way in a very short order. It's really that quick and that easy and hopefully that fun. Some of the fun comes from the gifts and incentives, like the drawing, the Italy drawing that we offer to you. We also have a book written by Linda Gassenheimer. Of course, you hear her every Thursday on Topical Currents with her food and dining segment. She wrote a book called The Flavors of the Florida Keys. You get a cultural history, you get a culinary tour of the Florida Keys. It gives you a little history. It gives you information about the variety of Keys restaurants and resorts. That can be yours as a thank you gift for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustaining member or a one-time contribution of $120. You're also going to get entered into the drawing, and I'll let Jason explain that what that incredible drawing is in just a moment. But you're going to also have the satisfaction of knowing that you made a difference in South Florida, that you made a difference for public broadcasting, whether you be in Key West or Marathon or Grassy Key or Key Largo or anywhere up the coast all the way up to Jupiter. We got you covered. We're here for you with our news team, with our local programs, great local programs like Topical Currents, national programs. We've got it all for you. Now be there for us with your contribution. 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN or WLRN.org.
Yeah, be there for us like Michael from Key West coming in as a new member today.
From Key West.
Thank you, Michael.
Awesome.
On New Member Monday here at WLRN, we have an amazing grand prize drawing going on right now as well. And let me tell you a little bit about it. Become a member of WLRN and be automatically entered to win a trip to Italy for two, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. The lucky winner will enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the most romantic place on Earth. Custom made by Nada's Italy experts with your choice of visits to Rome, Florence, or the Tuscan countryside. Your airfare, activities, and breakfasts are all included in this package. The drawing ends on Thursday, this coming Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m. So don't wait. Don't put it off. You know, you might say, oh, I'll do it later, and then later kind of
That's what always happens, and that's
life getting in the way.
And
right? That's
why we have these pledge drives go on for so long. Jason, is folks wait until that last moment, last hour, last day. Let's make this the last hour and the last day. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. You can do that by making your donation now at 866-247-9576 or online, WLRN.org.
And you know, you rely on WLRN for the most complete and compelling news and information from all around South Florida. We also were very pleased to be able to fill the void left in the classical music world recently when we switched our HD channel to an all-classical format. So, you know, WLRN really responds to the needs of South Florida. We are here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We ask you now to be here for us with your pledge of support, whether you want to take advantage of that book by Linda Gassenheimer, The Flavor of the Florida Keys, or you want to take advantage of the Wine Spectator magazine that's available at the $5 a month level of support. We got all kinds of gifts that you can take a look at WLRN.org. You'll get your name entered into the drawing for that incredible trip to Italy. So many great reasons to become a member, but maybe the best reason is the program you've been enjoying this past hour, Topical Currents, a local program just for South Florida. Give us a call at 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
You know, here's something you might not think about, Caroline. WLRN and NPR News do what a lot of other news sources no longer do, or in some cases never did. We cover the news calmly and thoroughly with clarity and balance. We bring you entertainment with intelligence, style, and a welcome human touch. We're invested in the lost art of radio. You appreciate that because you spend a lot of time listening. So now's the time to make your financial contribution to WLRN so it remains strong for you and for the next generation of listeners. And you can do that, as Caroline just said, by calling 866-247-9576 or log on to WLRN.org. Do it now.
That's right. And increasingly many WLRN listeners are joining that sustainer plan. We love it. At $10 a month or more, it reflects the importance of having WLRN at home, in the car, on weekdays, and on weekends. If WLRN is part of your daily routine, consider that contribution of $10 a month. It's about 30 cents a day for the value you receive from WLRN. I think that's a pretty good deal. Don't forget, let me give you that last pitch for The Flavors of the Florida Keys. It is a book written by our own Linda Gassenheimer. It takes you on a cultural history and culinary tour of the Florida Keys. You're going to learn history. You're going to learn about food. You're going to learn about restaurants and resorts that are in the Keys. If you're planning a visit there anytime in the near future, I think this may be the book for you. And it is available for that sustaining monthly pledge of $10. 866-247-9576. 866-247-9576 or online, WLRN.org. You're also going to be entered into our grand prize drawing for a trip to Italy for two, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours, a great custom-made vacation just for one very lucky person. But you have to participate. You have to go from being a passive listener to an active participant in the process. 866-247-9576 online, WLRN.org. And thanks so much.
And thanks for listening in this hour. We hope you enjoyed it. Our focus on the Florida Keys. It was produced by Polly Landis with technical direction from Michael Stock. Richard Ives is lead producer, and Paul Leary gets online credit. As always, it's easy to find free audio archives for download at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page. Drop us a like there. Again, please support the regional, the local programming such as Topical Currents when you make your pledge call to 866-247-9576 or go online and pledge at WLRN.org. Please do that now. Tomorrow it's our popular members-only program when Bonnie and I turn to our esteemed public radio members. We hope you are one of them. We'll chat with members about what first made them support public radio and what makes them continue to give. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.